Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave, do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Are you ready, boils and ghouls? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart.
It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast!
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. So happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to our special Halloween episode of Adventures in Collecting. thank you to Joe for hooking us up with a special little intro there. We also have a special guest here in the attic with us.
I'm not that special.
You're special.
Also, that wasn't Joe. That was one of the many creatures we asked him to do an impression of.
True. Yes. Yeah, I don't know which one, as of this point, I don't know which one we're going to land on. We have a couple different ones to choose from. So
we rolled the dice. We're hoping to land on that spot. We just don't know when the game piece will get there.
So as I mentioned, we have Dave. We mentioned Dave. We're slowly inching towards our hashtag all the Daves. We're collecting Daves.
Hashtag all the Daves.
Yep.
There's like a reverb in my headphones that's awesome with that because it made me feel like a morning zoo. Or it's like, hashtag live coming to you Monday morning.
Remix.
Z100.
Drive time radio.
So Dave, introduce yourself. Where are you from, Dave?
My name is Dave.
By the way, that's not me. It's the other Dave that I promised last week.
My name is also Dave.
And what podcast do you co-host, other Dave?
We're going by also Dave for this one.
Okay, also Dave.
I almost named my cat also Dave, but then I realized I'd look like such a jerk going to the vet.
Do you want to be also Dave or Dave also?
I like also Dave.
All right,
also Dave. So which podcast do you co-host also Dave?
So I'm coming to you live from the Calling All Creeps podcast, which is a Goosebumps literary review and comedy podcast.
So as I mentioned, this is a special Halloween episode of Adventures in Collecting. So our main topic is going to be Halloween related. But as always, we're going to update you on some toy news and what we're hauling in. And we'll have a third person to also Dave to include his contribution to this.
To also news and haul.
Yes.
I also haul.
So in terms of news, as usual, when it comes to me, there's a lot of really cool Star Wars stuff coming out. There has been early leaks of Best Buy putting some of the product that was announced for Triple Force Friday. So there's a really cool AT-ST Mandalorian set that's a Best Buy exclusive that by the time you're hearing this podcast, it'll be only a couple days away. Halloween is the street date for that. So both the Black Series IG-11,
yes,
and the AT-ST Vintage Collection set will be Best Buy exclusives. Those will be available on 10/31 on Halloween. As always, there's since we don't have Toys R Us here in the United States anymore for now, there's been a lot of really cool stuff coming out of Toys R Us Canada. There's a really great Black Series Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker, you know, his Act 1 and 2 look from Return of the Jedi. Great looking figure. That's starting to show up in Toys R Us Canada, along with some of the other newer Black Series figures. So Janna from The Rise of Skywalker. There's the, I think her name is Cara Dune. It's the main character from The Mandalorian.
Is that the real strong one with good muscles?
Yes.
She's got good muscles.
Well, I think she used to be a professional fighter.
Yeah, she was, I think, in... Oh, I forget which organization she was in. Gina Carano.
Gina Carano, thank you. Yeah, and she was also in Deadpool, of
course.
She
was also...
She's also in the gym with her good muscles.
I think she was in that new American Gladiators reboot, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so lots of really cool stuff coming from the Star Wars IP out there.
Question on that, though.
Yeah.
What color is that cape on Luke Skywalker?
It is brown.
That's right.
Like it's supposed to be.
That's right.
Unlike the three-pack that was just announced, that the Evil Cave Special Edition three-pack that features...
Is that what it's called? Evil Cave?
They named it really, like, going back to, like, those, like, Kenner names where, like, people were just like, Walrus Man. And, like, you know, like, they just kind of named it, you know, in that style. So, like, it's called the Evil... I think it's called the Evil Cave Special Edition...
Do you know how they played off Walrus Man and all those names?
How?
So now Star Wars lore is that those are basically like the racial slurs for those for those aliens. Like literally that's like the slang term for those Star Wars races, like a hammerhead, a Walrus Man.
That's kind of badass, though.
It is. At the same time. Yeah.
But yeah, so unlike that set where Luke is, he doesn't have his like overcoat that he's wearing when he confronts Vader, which is kind of the whole part of that set. Like the Darth Vader figure has the tearaway mask that looks like Luke's face underneath it.
Yeah.
The Luke is not screen accurate. It's also like a much maligned figure from like early vintage collection stuff where like the joints are all weird. His arms are like super long.
Yeah.
They just retooled the head and they left the body the same way. So it's kind of not great.
It's a three pack.
Unlike the Black Series Luke, but yeah. Outside of that, that's all I've got for news. Regular Dave, original Dave, original Dave,
regular or unleaded. So I actually have something that dropped like today. Boss Fight Studio has put up their pre-order for the Legends of Lucha Libre line. So wave one is Penta Zero M and Rey Fénix, aka the Lucha Brothers, and they are $37.99 per. So you can pre-order them both, and there's also accessory sets. One's kind of more of a deathmatch one, and the other one's just kind of more of a regular hardcore match one. Like there are light tubes in this, which is bonkers, to be completely honest.
Why do they have light tubes? Why is that important?
Well, it goes back to from Lucha Underground when Penta Zero M was Pentagon Jr. and he had the death match with Vampiro where there were light tubes involved.
And this is because they're breaking light tubes over each other.
Correct.
Awesome.
Just saw them at AAA in Madison Square Garden. Bought Penta's mask. And let me tell you, love those guys. I might actually pick up these figures because I just love them. And love what they did to my face that time. I was so comfortable. I'd yell whatever I wanted. So I told, like, people are very into wrestling right now. They were like, Mexican wrestling? I'm there. I'll be there. Recently, they were like, oh, WWE will be here. I'm like, I'll think about it. I just heard about sushi and sumo in New York. Gonna be there, too. I want to do wrestling around the world, baby.
Well, you're a big New Japan guy, right?
Yeah, I watch that as well. And of course the Lucha Brothers are in AEW right now.
Hells so. Yeah.
Dave, anything also Dave.
Thank you.
Did you have anything that you would like to add?
Oh stop. Also Dave was my father. You could just call me Dave. yeah, there's a couple things because I just looked through Instagram. So my favorite store, Walgreens, has been getting a few exclusive figures that are hitting now. No, not that Danny Moonstar that I'm just going crazy looking for.
Because you need three of them, right?
I need four of them.
Four of them.
Because the New Mutants team is one of my all-time favorites. So we're getting all these cannonballs. We have a new Sunspot, but none of them are in their New Mutants costumes. This isn't even like the original fun New Mutants Claremont costumes, but I need it.
The cannonball's in the X-Force costume, isn't he?
Yeah, which he's got like a little Ninja Turtle mask for no reason. Your whole body is made out of Kirby dots. Why do you need to wear a Ninja Turtles mask? But we are getting General Kenobi, 6-inch Star Wars, which is what I collect now. I got rid of all of my three and three quarter figures when that came out and went super heavy into them when they first launched. So that I'm very excited about. I've been slowing down on that line, but really, really cool. Also, I think one of the most underrated lines and possibly the best figures Hasbro has been putting out this year, the Power Rangers Lightning line.
Those are really cool looking. I admire them every time I walk down the aisle.
So articulation wise, quality wise, I'd say they rival Figure Arts.
No shit.
So they, especially because Bandai does have a say in these, everything from the articulation to the detail to the paint is incredible. I am holding myself to only buying the villains. But of course, because Zach's my dude, we got that Zach Black Ranger in with the Dragon Shield. That is a Walgreens exclusive. Not only do I love Walgreens, I love my man Zach. I got to pick that up too.
Awesome. Yeah, I keep seeing, I feel like I keep seeing Zed.
Oh, so such a good figure.
And it looks so good. And the White Ranger. I keep seeing like the Tommy White Ranger.
He was double packed in that.
And they did such a good job with that 3D face sculpt on him. Yeah. Like, it's incredible.
The best figure in that line, surprisingly, is actually a two-pack. It's the Green Ranger and the Putty.
The Putty.
The Putty is the best figure.
You know, it's just, and this is like, as much as I love Hasbro, I love you. I love what you're doing right now with the Marvel Legends, you know, the Star Wars Figures of Vintage Collection, like all the tech that you're using, it's great. But they have made some like very strong decisions with how they've packed these figures, because it's like, you know, you want more than one Putty, but you don't need, you could use like six Putties, but what are you gonna do with six Green Rangers?
I have two Putties, and it sucks because there was somebody at the comic shop. I work at Zap Comics and Cards in Wayne, New Jersey, Hustleman Alpin. Look up zapcomics.com or go to our Instagram.
We're always sharing your stuff. We love Zap. It's big well, Zap love.
They love you too. This podcast was actually kind of thought out there a little bit.
Yeah, we did some planning, some external planning at Zap one day. Yeah.
You had the ideas, and it's just like, we're all standing there talking toys and you're of course fitting in perfectly with everybody. And it's just a whole big thing. It's like, why don't you just do it?
Yeah.
Go get your bro original Dave and do it.
Original Dave.
OG Dave. OGD. They call him on the streets. And then my only other news, I don't want to take all your time, but Super 7, which, well, Walgreens is my favorite store. Super 7's probably my favorite toy brand right now, or supplier or store. And they have just released the packaged art for the Ninja Turtle line that they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Which, super nice. A feel of the comics, the cartoon, and more importantly, the original toys that we knew from growing up.
Yeah, they're modeled after the Playmates toys.
And the packaging art, I have so many turtles, so many vintage turtles. Everybody's done it. I just picked up the NECA ones. These are the best by far. And the packaging, like, this is a figure I'd be proud to display in the package because it's beautiful and it looks just like the bed sheets and the pillowcase that I had. Like with the bricks and the colors.
And I love the weapon tree too. Like it has like the pop out weapon tree. Ugh. Clearly a labor of love. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
And Raphael being the only turtle in this line is obvious for the reason that if you are a comic guy, I mean, you have the red head. So.
Yep.
And that's my news.
Very cool. So let's very quickly run through halls. I actually only have two things. Since the last episode, I picked up America's Ass, the Captain America from the first Avengers, or you know how he appears in the flashbacks in Endgame. Spoiler alert. So I picked up him at Walmart, and now I'm kind of on the hook for the rest of that set because I kind of want to build the Lebowski bro Thor. And I also found the Vintage Collection Sith Trooper at Target as part of that Wave 2, or the second, I don't know if it, I forget what wave they're actually calling it. It depends on which website you read, but it's the wave with the Sith Trooper, the Jawa, the Yavin Ceremony Leia, and I think it's the Shadow Troopers in that as well. But yeah, I picked up the Sith Trooper, so I'm really happy to have that. But those are really the only two things I got since the last episode.
I vaguely remember where I left off last episode, so we'll just go with, if any of this is a repeat, I apologize. It's been 2 weeks. So I found the Target exclusive WWE Asuka Elite, the Network Spotlight one. Very great figure. Very cool to find it. Very happy I found it. Got the Ollie Chase, the Elite Chase, because I'm going to start getting the cruiserweights and anyone who's been on 205 Live.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Eric. Or was currently in this kind of most recent run of it. I found a Ruby Riott basic, which factors into something later. And then to talk about the cruiserweight collection, I found actually both versions of Arya Daivari, but I'm going to hang on to the Chase with the black tights because it's the Chase, basically. So I'm going to stick with that one. And kind of tying back into the Ruby Riott figure, I found the Target exclusive Liv Morgan, which I couldn't believe I found it, but I found it. And so once the Sarah Logan basic comes out, I will have the entire Riott squad.
Congratulations.
I'm 2/3 of the way there, but thank you.
Not also Dave, because also Dave is your father, Dave. What about you? What are you buying? What have you bought lately?
So this is something I purchased over the internet, but received today. My most recent haul, which I will be hauling home with me. So Eric of the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I know him.
You are him. Look deep inside yourself and you'll find an Eric. All of you listening. And that's the lesson learned today.
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I don't even know what I said. Anyway.
That's the moral of the podcast today.
Yeah. Look inside yourself and you'll find an Eric. And please don't call the police. Sorry. This is all cool on my podcast. Probably edited out of yours. I'm sorry. Anyway. So I got a Jawa in... What is it? What do they call it? Outworld Jawa?
Off-world
Jawa, which I don't know if you knew this, but when I was collecting 3¾ Star Wars figures, I would just collect what I loved, which was the Bounty Hunters, Clone Troopers, Stormtroopers, which I always collect. But I had every single 3¾ Jawa, like every available one. And also I'd collect all the Astromechs. I still have a shot glass holder that just is every different astromech from like a little bit of time. So just having a new Jawa and knowing a fresh Jawa that just decided to stroll up in the club in some navy blue, I'm so excited for that. Sith Trooper all in red, get ready, baby. I'm thinking that he's gonna take his helmet off and be a clone of Anakin Skywalker or Luke or something.
Oh shit,
that's my...
I didn't know we were going this way with the conversation.
This is just what I'm saying. This is just what I feel in my heart. Yeah, because they're Sith Troopers and usually they're clones. There's got to be a reason they're Sith Troopers other than just like, you know, Adam Driver's just like, no, I'm Sith. So, and then the Mandalorian Carbonized Collection, which is beautiful.
Just be careful. I've heard that some of those figures, the carbonized ones... Mm-hmm. Fiddling with them too much is causing some of the paint to chip.
Well, whatever. He's had a hard fight. I'm going to fiddle as much as I can. He's going to fiddle against the dark side and the light side. He's a bounty hunter.
So this is the special Halloween episode. So we thought for our first Halloween and our first Halloween episode as a podcast, we have to talk about horror toys and we have to talk about toys in horror movies. And there's just so much out there. To talk about, I think the most iconic toy in all of movies, horror movies, when it comes to toy characters, would probably be Chucky, right?
I hate that guy.
So I recently, I think, am I the only one here who saw the new Child's Play?
Probably.
Yeah. Yep. So Mark Hamill voices Chucky in the new Child's Play, and I remember when the trailer for it came out, I was just thinking like, oh, this is a bad idea. This looks like shit. It was actually pretty cool. They took an interesting twist on it, but not nearly as iconic as the original Chucky. I mean, it's just you can't touch it. Now, you said, I'm pointing to not also Dave, but just Dave.
I'm back to also Dave.
You're back to also Dave?
My dad's name is Wayne, so I copped out there.
So why do you hate Chucky?
I love horror movies, and it only comes from Wayne. He had every Stephen King book, and I was like a very afraid child, and I would see the spines of all these books. I remember the Monkey Shines, the soft cover spine, like it's ingrained in my memory. I was always afraid. I would stay up late with my Uncle Guy. That's really his name. It's very generic, but Uncle Guy would like put on horror movies, and if I didn't know how they ended, I'd freak out. And out of all those movies, all the Freddies and Jasons and everything that I remember seeing, anything with a doll or toy that came to life scared the shit out of me. So it's actually only until 2019, this year, that I talked with a bunch of people, our friend Rusty from the comic shop and Matt from our podcast, that I realized I'd never seen the first Child's Play all the way through in one sitting, because it had only been through TV and it had only been like scared as a kid. But like as a kid, I need to like when it came on, I'd have to watch it through to the end because I'm like, I have to see how it ends. And that's how like my horror love started. And we sat down and watched it all the way through. It's pretty good. But I feel like it's one of the things where a lot of times your imagination, especially the imagination of a child, builds something up to be such a greater impact and character than what you expect. Still really good, but still nowhere near the horrifying character in my nightmares.
And I mean, that's interesting too, because right, like, we're toy collectors. We play with toys as a kid. And now I'll get into my introduction to Chucky in a second, but like as a kid, you think about your toys and like the one of the worst things imaginable is your toy trying to kill you, right? Mm-hmm. Like the thing that you play with every day. What's interesting for me,
like Tina.
Yeah. Being born in 1988, my introduction to Chucky, I think the first one I saw was probably Child's Play 3, which at that point he's more comedic than he is scary. He has surpassed that, that horror movie, because even by 2, really, he was more funny than he was scary.
In 1, watching it now when he's like, let go of me, bitch. Like,
but you have to remember though, like if the first one you see is 3, and correct me if I'm
there's
wrong,
a marked difference.
Doesn't he kill somebody with literally like a yardstick in 3?
I think so. Yeah.
Is that the military school?
Yeah, that's the military school one. So that was my first introduction to him, and I remember going back and watching the first one, and going like, whoa, like. Like even like that young thing, like tonally, this is so different.
It's like if your first Nightmare on Elm Street is Nightmare on Elm Street, like 4.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, welcome to primetime, bitch. That's three. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, even in that one, like, those characters seem to, I don't know what it is about those horror movies from like the 80s where like they figured out that the characters are more entertaining if they were funny rather than them being like villain, like just straight up villains.
Like Jason X. Jason X is basically the now that's what I call music of Friday the 13th movies, where they just added space and like they just took all their favorite kills and fun concepts and made them space. They just redid it again, but put their greatest hits in one compact disc,
along with a little bit of like BDSM.
Of course, because they were like, what do people love now? It's the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Blade's hot. Let's put a corset on this bad boy.
There's a whole part of that movie where like there's a discussion going into the like the android character's nipples.
Yeah.
And how her nipples are designed to look like real nipples.
Yeah.
But yes, there is that precedent. Like I don't know which character, probably Freddy was probably the character that started with where they decided that like
the popularity become too much where there was, Freddy toys and the TV show and
that's all right. This
stuff.
That, and wasn't he in like music videos?
Yeah. Freddie had a music video or two.
I work at a private school And I wore my Freddy sweater my first Halloween there. And a bunch of kids walked up and said, why are you wearing a Christmas sweater on Halloween? Only this year did I realize, like, someone was like, isn't Freddy a child murderer?
He is, in fact, a child murderer. Like, so, that is actually what he is.
Yeah, guess what sweater I'm not wearing in school anymore.
No, but you'll wear a regular sweater with a Freddy pin on it instead.
Yeah, well, I got stuff.
So aside from Chucky, right, there's you actually mentioned Talking Tina. So, like, going back even before Chucky to the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
There were toys trying to kill us in black and white on TV. I'm almost ashamed that I didn't take the time to look and see what the first killer toy was. But, you know, it's
probably Talking Tina.
Yeah. That of course has been parodied, right? Cause the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah. With the Krusty doll.
Yeah. You know, my name is Krusty and I don't like you. You know, like that concept, you know, pulling the string on a doll, you know, there were a lot of Twilight Zone episodes. Like I remember as a kid that like used to really fuck with me. You know, like now, of course, it's become more of like an easily watchable thing because we're kind of desensitized the way.
I mean, they're still great.
Oh, they're awesome. But, you know, it is a great early example of like a toy trying to kill you. And, you know, to call back to Dave's podcast, to Calling All Creeps, you guys have done how many episodes now on R.L. Stine's favorite killer toy dummy?
On the dummy, one.
Which is one so far?
There's only one. We haven't gotten to the sequel yet. But actually, inspiration for Slappy comes from Twilight Zone as well. There's an episode called The Dummy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
Very, I'd say scarier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Really creepy episode.
And I mean, ventriloquist dummies, like, they're creepy to begin with. Like, even if you look at the ones that, like the Howdy Doodies.
Oh, yeah.
like, you look at those now, and they're a little disturbing.
So my older brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was Cliff Robertson. I had to look it up to make sure.
So my older brother bought me a, like, I don't know who makes it. Some branded dummy company makes a Slappy now, like, from the book. So he bought it for me for Christmas, and I was like, oh, and we made some funny videos for the podcast. And then I put it into a backpack to bring home, and that has lived in that backpack in my trunk ever since.
Nice. Did either of you see the newest Toy Story?
No.
There is a ventriloquist dummy that looks almost exactly like Slappy that plays a big role in the movie. There's like a talking doll that plays kind of like the villain role in the new Toy Story. She's like a Talking Tina type doll, and she has like goons that protect her, and they're all like Slappy ventriloquist dummies.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And they live in this like podunk town in an antique store. So like when the toys wander into the antique store, actually, because Woody sees the lamp that Bo Peep used to live on.
Well, now I don't have to watch the movie.
I'm not gonna spoil the whole thing, but like the bad guys in the movie are a group of like creepy ventriloquist dummies.
That's horrifying.
And yeah, it's effective. Like when I took my daughter to go see it, at the time she was three, like when that scene came up, she was like, like visibly was like, I do not like this.
You ever think Toy Story is just about ghosts that possess toys?
You know, like there are some throughout the history of Toy Story, there are some pretty like creepy moments in those movies. Like whether it's like, you know, the stereotypical like weird, you know, collector with cheese doodle fingers that's, you know, selling figures on eBay, or they did a Halloween short. They did the Toy Story of Terror, which has some, you know, some creepy moments in it. But
it's great, though.
It's so funny. What's his name? Timothy Dalton. Right. Plays the voice of Mr. Prickle Pants, and he's teaching all the toys like the tropes of horror movies, like, oh, and like, you know, this is the perfect time, you know, during a thunderstorm where you get a flat tire on the side of the road and the car while they're in the trunk gets a flat tire and they stop at a hotel. Oh, and he's like, and this is where every perfect horror movie starts. And the toys start getting picked off one by one the way they would in like, you know, typical movie fashion.
That's when they start getting stolen by like the pet of the guy who owns the creepy hotel.
Yep, the hotel owner's iguana starts stealing all the figures, and he's eBaying them. That, I mean, between that or even in the first Toy Story movie with the part where Woody and the rest of the toys break like toy law and they, you know, they scar Sid and inevitably cause years of psychotherapy
because he becomes a garbage man.
Yes.
In three.
That's right. Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that if you are in that profession that you become that, but he just like, you know,
still
freaked out by toys.
So you're not saying that all sanitation workers were tortured by their toys at one point in their life?
No, I'm going to say that garbage men are fine, but I'm a garbage man myself, which has nothing to do with sanitation work. And I could speak to that.
So we have Toy Story. We have Talking Tina. We have Chucky. Another big one is Annabelle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was way behind on those movies. I actually just watched them this year, all of them.
First one's good.
First one was really good. Second one was kind of shitty,
but still kind of good.
The new one is the best one.
The first Annabelle movie is more about Charles Manson than it is the doll.
Yeah, which was surprised. And you know what? Again, we're in New Jersey, so we're in kind of like the hotbed of where the Warrens kind of worked. You know, the house that was in New York?
Amityville
is in New York. So it's, you know, it's literally like a short drive away from where we're recording, but their now defunct museum, was in Connecticut, which is where like the real Annabelle lived. And after I watched the Annabelle movies, I looked it up. Did you guys know that Annabelle is actually a Raggedy Ann doll?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know that. That doll.
The Annabelle doll?
No, like I had that Raggedy Ann Andy.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it mom's and it became like mine and then yours?
Yep. Yeah, passed down. Passed down toys. I got everybody's sloppy seconds or thirds when it came to toys. But that's what it's like growing up with older brothers. You know that.
Yeah,
older siblings.
Yeah.
But
obviously I held on to my stuff. Sorry, younger brother. And that's what puts me on a podcast like this. I hung on to my stuff.
But yeah, I did not know that it was Raggedy Ann D. Ann. Yeah.
The lady one.
Which is crazy. Like looking at after watching Annabelle and seeing that like very creepily designed, like porcelain like doll. You know, and like the full dress and everything sitting in that case that says like positively do not open. You look up the real pictures and it's like a Raggedy Ann doll sitting in that same glass case with the same positively do not open. I actually think the Raggedy Ann doll is more frightening.
Well, yeah, but it's like, you know, they probably couldn't get the licensing for it. Can we use Raggedy Ann as the possessed doll? No, absolutely not. Okay, we'll make one up.
Yeah, but is that like, I can't imagine that like the people who are in charge of the Raggedy Ann brand at this point, like when was the last time you saw a Raggedy Ann doll somewhere?
I mean, it's still like a beloved child's brand.
By who, though? Like, I feel like they're the children. People that were like, oh, man, we got two things going for us. Raggedy Ann and Jax.
Raggedy Ann and dirt.
Yeah. Our two big sellers. I want to talk about, speaking of Annabelle, my favorite haunted doll.
Do you guys know
Robert the doll?
Oh, I do.
The little sailor boy who will sail into your nightmares.
Dave, do you know about Robert?
No, what is
it? Oh, please enlighten us. This is a good one.
So this is the story of Robert the doll. So according to legend, the doll has supernatural abilities and that allows it to move, change its facial expressions, and make giggling sounds. Which, as a ghost, you know that, like, you're like, what powers you get? And he's like, gotta get giggling.
Fuck that.
Some versions of the legend claim that a young girl of Bahamian descent gave Otto the doll as a gift for retaliation for a wrongdoing. And people say it's a voodoo doll, whatever. But other legends just claim that the doll vanished after his house changed ownership. And then shortly after they all died. And his death had triggered the doll's supernatural powers, and it blamed all of his childhood mishaps on this doll, like through like the neighborhood and stuff. And they say since then, it's caused car accidents, broken bones, job loss, divorce, and a cornucopia of other misfortunes.
What a phrase.
Right?
Yeah, so Robert the doll, real life haunting. if you believe that sort of thing. Real life haunted doll.
Look it up. It's wearing
interesting.
We'll post a picture of it. It's fucking weird. Another good movie with haunted dolls, Puppet Master. Mm. So big series. Like that's like one of those like
there's 90s. Like 42 of them.
Yeah, there's a ton. But like that's one of those ones where I remember looking at the VHS box art like at rental stores going like, I'm not going to watch that because that looks scary.
They are a little scary. They're basically about like Nazis.
So they're Nazi puppets?
Kind of.
Well, that was the most recent one.
The most recent one was Nazi, but I think it isn't in the original one. Like,
isn't just one of them a Nazi?
Well, in the new one, there is one that is a Nazi, but I'm pretty sure the original one is about a man. Was he either like a Holocaust survivor or he was like an ex-Nazi that made these dolls and cursed them? It's like a revenge. The original one's like a revenge story.
Oh, man.
Where like he makes the dolls and they like do his bidding, like with or without him knowing to like whatever. But I forget. They all blend into each other. One Halloween, I watched like four different ones and I just watched the most recent one and they're insane.
I just remember like that time period of horror movies where like you'd go to the, you know, the either the mom and pop rental store or like, you know, like a Blockbuster or something, and always looking at the horror like section for the covers.
Yeah.
And I remember that cover vividly. Like along with like the Naked Lunch one where it's like a guy with a typewriter for a head and
Evil Dead. I always remembered
Evil Dead. And what was the Robert Englund Phantom of the Opera one?
Oof.
It's an awful movie, but that cover, like I remember that cover pretty vividly. I mean, we can't get away from actually talking about horror toys. that would be kind of important, right? So I know I have displayed in my living room downstairs at all times of the year. They're like three of my favorite action figures ever.
I was going to ask because you decked your house out for Halloween.
Yes.
But those are staples?
Yeah, those are staples.
Nice.
So the Movie Maniacs.
The original McFarlanes.
Yeah, the McFarlane Movie Maniacs. Much big ups to my wife. who lets those stay up all year round. I have Halloween's Michael Myers, the Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy, and then as much as the movie is just complete and utter dog shit.
Isn't it the Jason Goes to Hell Jason?
It is the Jason Goes to Hell Jason, which is a great looking figure, but oh my god, they could not have picked a worse movie to make it like the first Jason.
I think it was at the time, because it was right after the switch to New Line, it was the only one they had the rights to make.
Oh, that's I you know, I always forget that Friday the 13th has those super weird rights issues.
Like Halloween now has one of the worst.
Yeah, because the new ones are Universal, right? The new Halloween movies are Universal.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's all the same. Yeah, but it's the same producer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because it's all Akkad. It was
Malik Akkad.
Yeah, and now I think it's his son.
No, that's the son.
Yeah. Malik. Yep.
Funny story about the Jason Goes to Hell figure. Funko did the mystery minis, the horror mystery minis, which I collected all of the first wave, and for the second wave, I just wanted specific ones that I can never find. Jason Goes to Hell, Jason. So a guy who comes to the comic shop came in and he's like, here, I do you need Jason? And I'm like, yeah. The next time he came in, he gave it to me. And he was just like, I have a million people keep giving them to me. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, I know you're a big Friday the 13th fan. And he's just like, yeah, it's the Jason I designed. And yeah. So way to shit on my buddy.
So wait, he designed the figure or he designed
for the movie?
For the movie.
Yeah.
Man, I would have, if he was at all involved in any other aspect of that story, I have so many questions for him.
He worked on the original, too.
The original Friday the 13th.
Yeah, because that was when, there's like a whole lot going on with the Friday the 13th, like rights issues and stuff like that, but that was the first one at New Line, which is why it's called Jason Goes to Hell, not Friday the 13th Part 9.
Yep.
But Sean Cunningham wrote and directed the original Friday the 13th, and Or actually Victor Miller wrote it, but Sean Cunningham directed it. And which is where the rights issues are living now. But basically that was his first one where he got the rights from Paramount and was able to bring it to New Line.
Yeah, because that, in that movie, there was that whole like loosely veiled attempt to connect Evil Dead and Nightmare on Elm Street. And, you know, because like the Necronomicon was in the movie for a hot second, and Freddy's glove at the end pulls the mask into hell. Yeah,
it was just, well, that was New Line again.
Yeah, that movie's a mess.
Because the next movie was supposed to be Freddy vs. Jason.
Which was eventually made, but fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was fun. It was, but that's what you wanted from it.
But there have been, like, there is an incredible market for horror toys. Like, incredible. Like, NECA is doing some of the coolest shit ever with, like, I absolutely love the Pennywise figures that they've been putting out, like the various like faces and like I have one on my at my desk at work. I have the one that has like Georgie's severed arm and he's got like that, like, you know, grin.
The Jasons are all fantastic.
Yeah. Who's the one that did the was it the GameStop exclusive one where it's the NES Jason, but you open the box and the box is like one of those greeting cards that plays the music from the video game.
So the original one was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive and it got super expensive. So they re-released one as a Toys R Us exclusive. And that's the one that sang. And it also came with the severed head of Jason's mother, which is you can find in the game. And then you get an item there too. Yeah, but that's...
You get the sweater and that's how you beat the game.
Well, you don't need it to beat the game. But it makes it very, very easy. That game's insanely hard.
I love that game.
Oh, it's so much fun. That's one that's like actually fun to lose.
Yeah. my buddy Carl, we tried to beat that game. And
and your friends are dead?
Yes. Where we tried to beat that game so much at our darkest hour together in life. We're like, so we would meet up and play it on the NES. And our rule was we had to beat it NES style. So no internet. The only tips that we could get were from friends and be like, hey, your older brother play this yet? Or we should have done magazines.
But yeah, you should have gotten the Nintendo. I think there was a Nintendo Power that had.
It might have been a Game Pro. Yeah. I don't remember.
But that's why I have the Jason tattoo on my leg is in the NES colors.
That's such a cool.
I have the 8-bit pop of the NES colors for Freddy and Jason.
And I'm a very strongly hate Funko, but I do. Ooh,
hot take.
I do not like Funko.
Hot take on this podcast.
Like I more power to them for everything they're doing. So happy that they found success. The designers and stuff on it are awesome guys. They're like a lot of fans living their dream, but Funko itself, I mean, it's okay. It's fine.
Not your thing.
Not my thing. That's what I'm going to say.
But yeah, the speaking of Funkos, though, they have made some awesome horror pops. Like I think that's probably one of their biggest.
There's that one Comic-Con exclusive Jason Unmasked where it's like $1,000 now at this point.
They actually, as of
that's awesome
today, the 24th,
I don't have it.
They did like a Throwback Thursday to some horror pops they put out.
I think it was just Freddy and Jason.
Yeah, they showed Freddy and Jason, but I think it was three different iterations of each, and they're all exclusives of some kind.
Yeah, it was the regular Jason, the Roy, and the Unmasked. And then the Freddy's were...
I think it was an 8-bit. There was an 8-bit Jason in there, too.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it was the 8-bit Jason, then.
Because they did I think I have... So the normal, original Jason... I have the NES Jason of the normal colors, the NES Jason of the NES colors, the NES Dorb of Jason, the normal Dorb. Remember when they tried to make that happen?
Yes.
I have the Mystery Mini, every Mystery Mini Jason, including the 8-bit, the NES colors, which was the Chase.
Which was like such a low ratio.
Yes. And it's incredible how it happened. I bought so much at the comic shop. We were having a sale. There was the last one in the entire store. And they were like, you kind of have to buy it. And that was the one, like, after forever.
As it goes.
Yeah. And then also I have the Funko when they did the reaction figures, which thank God Super 7 took them back. That's kind of why I'm Funko's. Yeah, it's a whole story with Super 7 and them. But yeah, that I have the any New York Comic Con exclusive NES Jason. From
yeah, I wanted that one.
So I while we're talking about Super 7 and like that kind of reaction series, I don't know if you guys if you're following us on social media, which by the way, plug AIC _ podcast, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We post all kinds of shit throughout the week, you know, anything that we're finding. But
you're one on of it too.
What was that?
You're on stuff. I see stuff first from AIC _ pod on Instagram.
Damn straight. So one of my favorite follows on our account is Killer Bootlegs, and he recently came across this mold from 1978 for The Shape, Michael Myers, and it was in that like that 4-inch scale, like 3¾ scale, you know, 5 points of articulation style figure of Michael Myers, The Shape.
Think like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. And he's putting it out from what I can tell, you know, he's going to do a production of them, you know, a small production, but he did a test print. Like he gave away like a test print with like a full test print, like card and everything.
It was awesome.
You know, it was a raffle. So it was like a $10 entry. I 100% was like, take my money. I can't wait for him to put out that actual figure. It's such a cool story that it never got made, you know, for obvious reasons. Like if you go to his account and you scroll back and you look at the actual post, I think we actually reposted that post, so you could probably find it on ours too. But
like the alien figures, which exactly. Super 7 wound up making.
That's yep.
Pretty much the story of reaction figures too. They found the original sculpt for the original alien that they would not put out because they wouldn't put out toys for a rated R movie.
Yep. And that's the whole thing. They were like, you know, people don't want, you know, parents didn't want their kids to have.
Well, they weren't action. Ready to do it. That was.
RoboCop kind of broke that mold.
Yeah. They didn't want to have an action figure of a guy that was running around slashing teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an awesome looking figure. I can't wait to see the final product.
There was a Rambo cartoon. I had those figures.
Yeah. I remember those. They had the big like He-Man style almost.
But they
like,
were boxier in a way.
They weren't He-Man style. They were more
like Safubi Japanese style in a way.
Kind of. Yeah.
I do remember them though. They had some great accessories. They had like really great. Like I remember this big helicopter.
And there was the Jeep as well.
Yep.
Were they that Remco?
Jeep was cool. Were they?
I think they may have been Remco. Remco had some incredible things, including Universal Monsters figures, which so good.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we were during the first half of this podcast, we were watching the Creature from the Black Lagoon in the background, which I know is one of also Dave's.
Well, Mego
favorites.
Did the Universal Monsters too.
They did. They did the big cloth figures, but the little 3¾ figures were all the Remco boys.
Well, they weren't 3¾. They were more like, I want to say the Rambos were like 6.
Oh, no, the Rambos were big.
Yeah, they were 6-inch scale.
They did wrestling too, but like generic.
Yeah, the AWA. No, they were AWA. They weren't generic.
I had no idea.
That's what they were. That's what they reminded me of. They were the same type of figures as those, because I remember you had a couple of those.
Oh, man. Yeah,
they were Remco. Rambo was Remco.
I wish I had those AWA figures in good shape, but I had Shawn Michaels. Let's just put it that way. If you look up on eBay how much Shawn Michaels is in that individual series, played with that figure a lot.
but also, Dave, you have an affinity for all swamp type monster figures.
I do.
So Swamp Thing, Man Thing, and Creature, right?
Yes.
So I know you showed me a picture beforehand, but how did you fall into the Creature from the Black Lagoon?
It's a long story. It was kind of the thing where it's a movie that I'd seen in the past and then found a new meaning for at like a darker time in my life, and then just kind of like leaned into it real hard and started watching it a lot. It was kind of like the perfect movie to have in the background with like stuff going on, which is ironic that we did that now. And also like just a creature that I always really appreciated, which if you're into novels and feminism and history of the film, check out Lady from the Black Lagoon, which was written by Mallory O'Mara, which came out recently. And that's about the female that actually designed the creature from the Black Lagoon and how it was basically all the credit was taken from her. But it's a really interesting story about women in film, and especially like the horror genre back when. But yeah, so it's just it kind of grew from there, my love for the movie. And then the figures before there weren't too many. I mean, basically you had the Remco figures, you had the like you're saying, the Migos. And then those two figures, Universal Monster figures, really just in a way of like horror figure nostalgia, just spanned into this crazy thing where that Mego style figure has been remade by so many different companies. Like you can get the Mego figure from NECA. You can get it from, I mean, like a number of different people. And then the Remco figure is basically just what Funko and Super 7 put out for their Universal Monsters and are continuing to do just new sculpts.
And some of those Remco figures, like I'm thinking like the AWA figures were in like He-Man scale.
But these were basically, they looked just like they would fit right with your Kenner Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
Remco. And they also came with, if you had those play sets, they would have, it was like the same material they would use to make the carrying cases. Not the Star Wars one. Those are like hard plastic, but you know that like vinyl wrapped.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah. Like the Hot Wheels cases.
Yes. But they actually, Remco came out with a Universal Monsters like haunted house carrying case. And it was like a play set that you could use with them too, made out of that material.
Oh no shit. So like if you popped it open, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had like trap doors and stuff. But yeah, and then even they did the glow in the dark figures, which even if you go to Super 7 now, they have the Misfits Fiends that I've been picking up, and they did a Remco homage that's all glow in the dark with that awesome card art that Remco had on those monsters.
Yep.
The big face, bright colors on a stark black contrast, looks like an album cover, is awesome.
Yeah, they're doing, Super 7 is doing really great work with all of those
everything.
Brands.
With
yeah.
everything.
Everything from baseball, which we talked about on last episode, to like all the horror stuff, to everything in between. Like,
and I think they have they have some sort of New Japan figures coming out, but if you're to believe rumor, it's going to be reaction style and then like Mattel Elite style.
Yeah.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they've grown. It's just them and NECA. I mean, they've come from just like, they're just fans like us. They
yeah.
just make what they want. And it's like, that's why I think collecting toys is so exciting right now.
I mean, like, I'm sure everyone has like their thing, right? Like the thing that you enjoy collecting the most. So for me, you know, the Star Wars and the Marvel figures. But I actually spend more time in a store looking at the stuff that I don't buy.
Yeah.
And like admire, like I went to Target and I went over to like that area where they have the NECAs and the pops, like over by like the DVDs and Blu-rays and video games. And I spent like a solid 20 minutes the other day just looking at the various like Jasons
that
they had. And and I saw Zap posted the video, one of my favorite movies, pseudo horror movies that's now, you know, has new toys coming out, those Christmas Gremlins.
Oh yeah,
like that is such a cool set with them, with like the scarves and like they're doing some really great work.
And and they're not secondary market. They're not like, if you wanted to jump in at any time, they're not the hardest.
No, and they
come across,
and they're finally after years of partnering with Target, they're finally available on Target.com, which is huge, like as of only a few weeks ago.
Better prices, too.
Yeah.
The only thing is that if you can, this is not like a plug, but as a collector, if you need to buy NECA stuff, find the mom and pop comic shops, find the local places, because the markup sometimes, the price of getting them into a big box retailer from a smaller place is tough.
Yeah, 100%. But I mean,
if you need to get them at Target, buy them there. Because, you know, you want to support so that they know, you know, people are buying so they can continue. But I mean, sometimes that dairy exclusive GameStop figure, the Pennywise, the retail for it was $35.
Yep.
And like 25 is the normal, has always been the normal NECA price, which is crazy that it was just $10 more. And that's what all the prices are at GameStop for them. It's just, I mean, we don't think about like these little guys were like, oh yeah, of course I need to pay more money for it because this is the Darth Plagueis that came out in the vintage series. And it's this one. And that's it's because it's Darth Plagueis. We don't think about that it's made out of like oil and like how much it costs for shipping and yep. for the big box and how many they had to buy to get that. And like, so, yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
So before we wrap it up on horror toys and on Halloween, putting you on the spot and we'll go down the line. I'll kick it off. Favorite horror toy ever. So it could be either a physical toy that you've owned. It could be like a horror toy in a movie. It could be, you know, any of those things. So I'll start. My absolute favorite horror toy ever is actually my Movie Maniacs original Michael Myers. Like, I just remember getting that figure in the blister pack that it was in, seeing it on the wall. I think I probably got it at the time from like a Suncoast Video or one of those places. But I remember that toy was particularly awesome because that, if you remember that, those early Movie Maniacs toys, they were some of the most lifelike and most realistic looking ones out there. One, two, they came with this awesome like movie poster mm-hmm. that was in this like it looked like it was made out of like bone, the stand and like everything with it. And you know, sadly I have my Michael Myers on display, but I couldn't tell you what happened to the pumpkin that he came with or that movie poster, but that's still I love the way that figure looks. Absolute favorite. Who's next? I always remember you had that Freddy Krueger like soft figure.
Oh, that was like a bootleg Freddy Krueger with like the broken arm.
With the broken arm.
Yeah, it was like a bootleg Freddy. I was actually going to say that was probably one of them because that was just so bizarre and so rare and so random.
That thing's probably still in mom's basement somewhere.
It's somewhere. Probably without the arm, though. What I thought were great, and I have one of them, and I think you were who got it for me. At one point, McFarlane put out 3D movie posters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did really get that
and
for
I
you.
And I have Nightmare on Elm Street.
Because they were doing the album posters, too. I had the Master of Puppets Metallica album cover, and then they did the movie posters, too.
And they had Alien with the light-up egg.
Yes.
And,
Yeah, no, I definitely, I'm
Friday
responsible
the 13th,
for that.
I think, was one of them, too. But Nightmare on Elm Street's cool. Rocky Horror. They had a bunch of them.
Wasn't it the Friday the 13th part 3? Because it was the knife coming through the shower.
I think they had part 1 as well.
They had part 1, yeah.
But yeah,
that's
no,
the one I remember.
I got you the Nightmare on Elm Street one. 100%. That was me. I completely forgot about them. Also, Dave, what about you?
So mine, I thought about, because I figured this question was coming.
That, and you had two answers to think through.
Yeah, but I knew this was my answer. So I just need to get the name of it. So this is a horror franchise, horror sci-fi, it danced around, but I was a huge fan of miniature figures, anything small that I can carry with me. So I'm going to have to go with Mighty Max Conquers the Palace of Poison.
Oh man, I loved my Mighty Max figures.
I love Mighty Max. I actually started recollecting them over the past year and finding different ones. But if you think about it, Mighty Max was a small boy in a red hat who was put into these different horror tropes.
Mm-hmm.
First one, Skull Dungeon, where he is basically in a giant skull building with a Frankenstein.
Yep.
And an evil doctor. My favorite was...
Wasn't it like a red Frankenstein?
This one was green.
Green. Okay.
There were a bunch of different ones, but this one, which was my favorite, was a snake. And it opens up two ways, and you basically are in the bottom of a pyramid with a giant scorpion and a mummy that comes out. And there's like a catwalk and stuff, but they were just full play sets. I loved play sets. We don't get play sets as much anymore, and if we are getting them, it's a huge $600
yep.
deal. for collectors.
That's crowdfunded.
Yeah, and I don't have the space for it. I was never a Masters of the Universe guy until recently watching Toys That Made Us and just kind of really getting invested in it.
Oh, I had all of those.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Castle Grayskull that Super 7 did?
It's pretty great. It's pretty much
it's pound for pound almost.
Pound for pound, yeah. Almost the original, yeah.
I have the original too. At home, I was going to repaint it and basically add like boards over the windows and like tag it up and make fake like empty 40s at the bottom and make it like it's condemned. But like I've just had it because I was going to like spray paint it. But the original paint job on those is just like everything was
fantastic.
And it's so good. I just have it up on a bookshelf. And
yeah,
it's
but did
there.
You have Skull Snake Mountain with the microphone?
No, I don't have that. It's great. I still have the sticker of the carpet, which is so good. But yeah, so I'd say it's my Mighty Max because it's you as a 90s child put into a horror scenario that you can put in your pocket.
I have not thought about Mighty Max in such a long time.
Well, if you ever want to come over and play Mighty Max with me, you could be Virgil. He's the tiny owl.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Bye. Happy Halloween.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.